Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, my trick-or-treating pizzas? Corey Vincent here, video game bang, and things are gonna get a little spooky, gonna get a little weird. Joining me, the beast from the east, the scariest man in Natomas right now, David Webb. What is up?
What is up, everybody?
Webb and I were both looking at each other, trying to figure out where that was. We're like, which one of this is going to be? Who is it? You? Is it? And then he said, man. And I went, okay, probably not me.
No, probably not. 50-50. Not this time.
I was still 50-50 at that point, to be honest.
Got big Halloween plans, David?
Yeah, I'm going to take my girlfriend's nephew trick-or-treating. Well, I'm going to go with them.
Look at you, man. You've been doing all sorts of stuff. You've been like cleaning gutters and taking down trees.
I'm going to be taking... Okay, so the way I'm going to take down this tree is kind of sketch. I'm not going to lie, because it's super expensive to have somebody come out and take down the tree.
Yeah. It's a great start to every home improvement story. But you're going to be in the hospital.
But what's not super expensive is a scissor lift for a day.
Are you doing this on Halloween?
No. The scissor lift tree takedown mission is the weekend.
Okay.
Tomorrow, I'm drinking wine and going trick-or-treating.
Drinking wine? Are you going to dress up?
No.
No? Come on,
So the kid that we're taking trick-or-treating, Jackson, he probably won't be wearing his helmet the entire time. He's going as what he calls Halo Master. Everybody else knows him as Master Chief.
Halo Master?
Halo Master.
It's close enough.
Master of the Halo.
It's close enough, right?
Yeah.
And he's never played the game, but he saw the costume in the store. He goes, I want to be that.
Oh, so he's a fake nerd.
No, he's four. You can't. It's a little young to be playing Halo.
Yeah, I know a phony when I see one.
So I'll probably be wearing his mask, but I'll be in jeans and a sweater with... I'll be undercover Master Chief.
All right, that's kind of cool. Casual Master Chief.
Casual Master Chief.
What he wears when he's not...
he still has a helmet.
Destroying the Covenant.
But
yeah.
He's in, you know, jeans and a Volcom t-shirt.
Emma Skies, what is going on? What about you? Obviously, as a cosplayer, Halloween is your favorite holiday. So, you know, what are you whipping up?
I'm going to work.
Do you get to at least dress up for work?
I get to wear a polo.
Polo.
Let's talk.
She's dressing
about...
up as an adult, is what she's doing.
I'm going to. I don't know. Cosplayers. Okay, that's a common misconception. We like a good Halloween, but we're not busting out cosplay costumes. I did not spend 14 hours and $300 making a costume so that I can wear it to a fucking party.
I know, but at least you have. It should be easier for you to obtain a costume. Like you probably have nice, better options than I do, for example.
I don't know if that's true, though. I mean, unless you're going to Dragon Con, then you did spend 14 hours to wear a costume to a party, because that's all Dragon Con is.
The party.
Nice
con.
Late response.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt.
Maybe you weren't playing Microtransaction City over here.
Okay, how long were you waiting to pull that out of your back pocket?
I was just sitting right here. He's playing Mario Kart on his phone like a fucking loser.
Yeah.
I'm going to work is what I'm doing for Halloween, which is fantastic because it means I don't have to fucking answer my door for little kids that I don't care about.
That's the best part.
I turn my lights off and eat the candy myself. I do not answer my door for trick-or-treaters.
You'd be a great mom.
Why are you so evil?
Yeah, I will be because I'm not going to have any kids. That's the best thing I can do for children is to not have them.
Why are you so mean?
I don't like kids.
Yeah, I don't particularly like kids either, but like I remember being a kid and Halloween was awesome. You get to go through, and if there was a bunch of meanies like you out there, it wouldn't have been so fun.
I'd have my lights off so they don't come to my door.
Did you like kids when you were a kid, or were you one of those kids? Yeah, you didn't want to be around other kids.
Like kids, I was fine with. Once I was a teenager, I was like, ooh, everybody fucking sucks.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah,
and then that just position never changed.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah. Just
So I don't have to worry about that because I work late. So
speaking of your work, I went to a little
you guys did a Halloween party last weekend.
We did our first Halloween party last week, and we have another one this weekend.
It was good. I got to, I've heard stories, I've seen photos on Instagram of the place. And
it looks different in person, right?
It's incredible in person.
It's hard to get a handle on the size of the space and like how everything works out over photos.
You know what it reminded me of is like a kid when you go to Laser X.
Oh, Laser X was the shit.
I remember Laser X being the most awesome place you can go as a youngster. Awesome. Had the cool lights. Everything was like glowy. And, you know, you were going to have a good time. This is like Laser X for adults.
I had my birthday like 4 years in a row at Laser X. No lie.
You go in and it's all themed out like it's a spaceship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they did a really good job of like warning signs and things on the wall, like the giant on
Laser X, because Laser X is like an alien crash.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's why
there's like ooze and stuff coming down. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We're not even done building it, so there's and you know what, it kind of helps the construction still, like it still looks on theme.
Do you remember, it's related, remember when we did that escape room, Corey, and it was supposed to be like a rundown like basement, and we're trying to figure out how to open the door, and we found these two wires that were hanging out. We're like, well, maybe this is it. And so we're getting ready to like touch the wires, and then we had two engineers with us, and they're like, hold off, maybe that's not it. We found out, no, that wasn't it. The room was just broken, and they had wires hanging down.
Yeah, those were legitimate, like, building, like, wires. Yeah.
Legitimately almost electrocuted
ourselves. We would have electrocuted each other, yeah. It was cool. It was a lot of people there. There was the stream room. There was, like, a rock band room.
We have a room set up for some photos.
Yeah.
So we're doing another one this weekend, so it'll be the same kind of thing. So if you missed last week's and you want to check out this week's, it'll be Friday night after Halloween. We had a pre-Halloween party, and now we're having a post-Halloween party.
I'm excited. I might go check it out again. It was a really good time. If you're in the Sacramento area and you're looking for something, it's the furthest thing from a land center. I think that's what differentiates it. You know, you expect to go into a land center, and they've thought of everything. A lot of it's like, these are still like pre-launch stuff, so the bar isn't quite there yet. And I was talking to one of the owners, and I was playing Overwatch, and he was peeking over my shoulder, and I was like, man, you know what? I wish there was like an interface on this computer where you could order like your drinks and food, and it comes right to you. He's like, oh yeah, we already got that. I was like, oh my God.
Yep.
Why would I ever leave this place?
Yep.
Shower. So,
check it out. If you got nothing better to do this weekend on the 1st, November 1st.
We didn't even say where. Fire Up Esports Lounge.
Fire Up Esports Lounge.
Yeah. That's like the biggest build-up ever.
I don't think we actually said anything. Fire Up Esports Lounge in Roseville.
Yeah, if you don't know, now you know. Check out Fire Up Esports Lounge in Roseville right off of Douglas, right off the freeway. Super convenient. It was nice to get to. It was a really, really well-done event. So, without any further ado... What's
copyright
playing?
Infringement.
It can't be copyrighted if you change the lyrics, all right? Just like Lizzo did the Black Beatles.
Okay, the superhero?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blue Beetle.
David Webb, what have you been playing, man?
What I've been playing and what I am playing is... actually, I don't even know fully what the name of this is. It's just Mario Kart.
It's Mario Kart Tour, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds right. Mario Kart Tour on the phone. I may have a problem, you guys.
Yeah, you can't fucking put it. I'm sitting right next to you.
Why are you... Yeah, what's so addictive about this game?
The microtransactions.
Yeah, I just can't stop spending money. No, so... I'm actually kind of good at it, and I'm trying to keep my tier, or my level.
So nobody, what are...
Nobody tell me racing bots.
I know, I thought you were racing bots in this game.
So you race bots for the first, like, maybe, like, two cups, and then they introduce the ranking system where then you may not be racing against people, but it's kind of like Forza, where you...
Oh, so you're racing against other people's best times.
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of whack. So if I called you up and I was like, David, I want to race you right now, there's no way for us to party up and actually race?
I think there is, because you could do friends. So you can have friends, and I think then you can
party start a lobby.
I'm 99% sure, because honestly, I haven't done that, because I don't have friends to play with. But,
is it like Fallout where you have to pay for it?
You have to pay for lobbies, you have to pay for friends, you have to pay for everything. I have not spent one dime on this game, so I don't know why people think, like, oh, it's microtransaction... hell or whatever. I haven't spent one dime. Granted, I'm not playing as like Mario, but I'm playing as Bowser. Yeah,
because Mario stuck behind a paywall.
It's Mario's cart game. I never can't played pick Mario.
I have never played Mario in any Mario Kart game but I've ever played.
How does it work? Do you unlock characters randomly?
So you get
these
things.
Like a box system? Is it surprise mechanics?
Yes. So you get these things called rubies, and you earn them.
I'm familiar with rubies, all right?
Yeah. They're called rubies, and what rubies are, they're like a reddish gem.
Thank you.
What a gem is, no.
It's my birthstone, bro. Of course I know what it is.
It's a fucking birthstone, bro. Yeah. Anyway, rubies. So it costs 5 rubies, and then you shoot stuff out of a pipe. And then you can get racers, carts, and gliders.
Okay. And who have you gotten so far?
Off the top of my head, Toadette, Shy Guy, Bowser, another one that I don't really know who he is. I think one more. Can't remember.
And everybody's favorite Mario Kart characters.
And I've gotten Shy Guy. The train cart?
Thomas the Tank Engine?
Yep.
The train cart?
Yeah. It's like a engine, like a steam engine. It's a cart.
Okay.
You never played that?
Mm-mm.
That's one I always used. And then the bullet.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That cart. And then a couple of, like, buggy kind of things. And then just, like, I have, like, a parachute glider and then just, like, the normal hang gliders. But the cart, the player or the character you play with determines on different tracks. You can get, like, bonus items. So, like, different tier characters. So, like, I could play as Bowser, and on one track I'll get, like, 2 items in the box instead of just 1 item.
Okay.
And then I play, like, the train cart, and I get x3 for my bonus points. And then I play the glider, and I get 1.5 for combos and stuff like that.
So you're pretty invested in this.
Yeah.
Are you playing with friends or anything yet?
No.
No?
But I got first place in the tier 1. Like competition.
Oh,
it lasts like a week, and then it bumped me to tier 4. Which,
what is the maximum amount of tiers?
I have no idea. I'll tell you when I get
it's
to
like
it,
Scientology. there's always tier, more levels.
At tier 8, I get my cape. At tier 9, they're telling me there's a cookie wand involved, so I'm pretty stoked for that
one. I know they've told you you're going clear. You will never go clear.
No, I'm going fucking crystal. All right,
you're never
crystal.
You're never gonna get.
And
there.
Then when I die, they. Like jellify me, and they put it in a lamp for people to
admire. Forever.
Admire, yeah.
So, what's the hard pitch? Who should be playing this game? Because I love me some Mario Kart.
I mean, if you like Mario Kart, then download it. It's pretty. The driving.
Do I have to like move my phone to steer? How are you steering
in
this game?
There's 2 options to steer. There's like the normal way where you would just swipe it to left or right, or you could do it the slider. So, depending on how far you slide your thumb determines the amount of drift that you're doing.
Okay.
Which is, that's the one I'm doing. And then there's no gas, so you just press it once to go. They have rocket boosts, just like in normal Mario Kart. So, when it counts down from 3 to 1, on 2 is when you hold it down. And then you can do a rocket boost, and you get bonus points for that. And then, yeah.
All right.
I mean, I think it's fun. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. Unless you want a specific character, then
I mean,
yeah.
Mario.
Unless you want to play Mario in Mario Kart.
I've never played Mario in Mario Kart, though. I've always played Diddy Kong or Donkey Kong Jr. or fucking the red turtle.
None of which you have available in this game?
No, but Bowser, I'm at like...
He's like, I don't care that one isn't available. The ones I usually play aren't available either.
But that's the thing, though, is it doesn't matter. Like, so I'm playing as Bowser right now because Bowser, I think, is the first one I got. And he's like my highest level racer. So I'm going to play as him.
So does he go faster than your other guys?
There's not really a speed thing. That's the, like, you know how like you get like this person in this cart and like this glider and you feel like you're going faster than the other ones.
Uh-huh.
It's not necessarily like that. I'm playing as him.
Why'd you say
it's just,
it?
No. He has higher points.
Okay.
So when you play, you immediately start off with bonus points.
Yeah.
And so because he's worth 695 points plus my cart is 300 points plus my glider is 300 points, then I'm starting off with 1295 points right off the bat.
Wow, bro. I'm not playing this game to do math, okay? You just threw a lot of numbers at me and I'm kind of intimidated.
It's okay.
Emma Skies, what you been playing?
Back to Mario.
I've been playing. Oh my god, you have a problem. I've been playing The Outer Worlds.
Yeah, buddy. Tell me about it.
Find me out. And it's so much fun and I love it.
Thank you.
I am thoroughly enjoying myself. I love it so much. And my entire life now revolves around making sure that Parvati is happy.
Parvati Patel?
So this game is amazing. Before we get to Parvati, tell me what you expected and then what you ended up getting.
I don't know. Well, because I've never played the Fallout games.
Okay.
So this
is brand new to you.
I played Fallout 3 apparently for 22 hours and have no recollection of it.
22 hours is not a lot in Fallout years.
22 hours is a lot in anybody's life to not remember.
I
had a concussion or something.
That makes sense.
To get to Fallout, actually, well, Fallout 3, so 22 hours in Fallout 3 might have got you past the tutorial. Let's be honest, because that was a long-ass tutorial.
That's the character building.
Yeah.
I don't play RPGs, really, and I didn't really, Fallout 3 is the only Fallout that I've ever played, but I really don't remember much of it. So I kind of went into this thing and, it looks like it'll be a cool game, and the story mechanics look like they're going to be really cool. So, fuck it. Let's try it out.
How long did you spend in the character creator?
45 minutes.
Damn!
That makes sense.
It's pretty...
In-depth did you try and get that thing?
I mean, that's including the attributes.
Oh, well, still. That didn't take that long.
The attributes.
So, what did
you... That's, time.
How did you spec your character?
So, my character, I put a lot into... intelligence. I think I have I think my intelligence is pretty high.
Yeah.
I put stuff into tech, and then whenever I level up, I'm putting stuff into dialogue, tech, and then my ranged weapons, my shooters, and leadership. I usually put one in so people will fucking listen to me.
I built pretty much the same character, I think.
Nice. That's the way to go.
Cuz I love the dialogue. This game did so good when it came to just the world building, I think.
The decision trees in this game are next fucking level. I don't know if it's just because I don't play RPGs, so maybe it's just something that I haven't experienced this in depth before. But the one that got me, and I won't say anything about it because I don't want to spoil it for anybody else, but that first big decision that you made.
Well, I think
Fallout 3,
in
you
fairness,
spoil it for anybody? It's been out for 10 years.
We're talking about Outer Worlds, bro.
Oh,
put
okay.
your phone down.
I know. If you would know
Join
if you weren't
the conversation.
Playing Mario Kart.
I'm listening.
So, I think we're fine talking about the first decision. We're going to go there. Because it literally takes place in the first hour. It's basically the tutorial.
It definitely took me longer than an hour to get there. My first stream of it was 3 hours long, and I hadn't made the decision yet.
Well, we're going to do that. Because this is important. I just want to know how you play the game, and I think we can flesh out a lot
All
of
right.
details.
All right, blame Corey for the spoilers. So the first decision that you make is whether to divert power to the city or to a settlement of deserters.
So basically you need a power converter to get your ship off the ground. And there's one power source thing, and you can choose where to divert the power. And in the city, it's kind of run by this sleazy guy. Who obviously is
Reed
a bad
Thompson.
Leader. Yeah, he's kind of a jerk. He's a big jerk. And then there's a settlement of people who left. And the whole thing is kind of about commercialism. You know,
oh, yeah.
Basically all...
Not kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. This game is about capitalism.
Yeah, it's 100% about capitalism. Instead of thank God, they say things like, thank ads or something like that. Or thank advertisers or whatever. It's crazy. So
that's weird. There was another game that was like that. That was just straight up
consumerism run
consumerism.
Rampant.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Well, you're thinking of that.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking of that. There's some people left and they started their own little hippie civilization on the outside. And over there, they're kind of free. They're not all slaves to their jobs, and they have some new technology basically where they can make the lands fertile again. So you have this bad business guy who's running the city, and all the people are miserable and getting sick. That's another thing. There's there's a plague going around, and he's only reserving the small medication that he has to really rich people.
Okay.
So a lot of people are getting sick, and over here in the free settlement,
there's a lot of lore and things that you can read. And one of the things that got me was when you were reading something and it talks about how they wouldn't treat me because I was too sick. I was sick, so they wouldn't give me the medicine.
Yeah.
Wow, that's that's blatant,
I'm
health insurance.
It's American healthcare.
No pre-existing issues.
This game is smart, and gross. Like a lot of the food things you could eat there.
Oh, nasty.
Boerwurst, you know, like you'll be talking to someone, they'll say, man, I love my boerwurst. This one had just the right amount of tumors in it. Like, it's pretty freaking
nasty. Are the Saltuna stuff, like, so this city is based off around, or is based around a Saltuna cannery. Like, that's what they all work at.
Yeah.
And what was it? It's like you're reading some emails. And they basically figure out that they can make more profit by using heavier cans and less food inside them. So the can is heavier, so it still weighs the same, but there's less food in it, and so you sell more of it because it's awful.
A lot of people who run these cities are terrible, and it's all kind of run by this organization called the Board. But anyway, so you get to this spot where you can divert the power.
Right. Okay.
What did you do?
So from the beginning that it tells you that you have to pick one or the other, you know, for a while, like, you know, you're going to get there and you have to pick. And I couldn't figure out what the fuck I wanted to do, because on the one hand, Reed Thompson is a shit mayor, whatever the fuck he is. He's a really shitty person. He is just like in bed with the Board. He loves the company and everybody in the city is miserable. But there are way more people in that city than there are in the deserter colony. So if you take power away from that city, you're taking power away from so many more people than you would if it was the deserter colony. So in my mind, I was like, oh my god, I can't decide. So what I did, and I decided to try this. I'm like looking at it and I'm talking through with chat and with my stream, and I'm like, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give the power to the city. I'm gonna give Edgewater all the power, and then before I go and talk to the deserter colony and tell them what I've done, I'm gonna go back to Edgewater, sneak in, kill Reed, come out, then go back to the deserter colony and see if I can get them to go back. And that's not a choice that's offered to you.
No, it's not.
It's not. You can do one or the other. The game accounted for that exact scenario. There are dialogue trees that count on you having done that.
What?
When
so,
I go back,
so
I can,
that's what you did?
That's what I did.
And it worked?
And it worked. And she's in charge now.
You, okay, first of all, you're evil.
No, that was, what? Evil.
So I'll talk you through my decision making. I was going through. Obviously, I know the dude's a shithead, and same thing. There's a lot of sick people there, and then these other people have this really cool colony. Mm-hmm. So at first I was like, okay, I'm just going to divert the power to the good people, and everybody will move there, or you know, they'll figure it out later. Emma brought up Parvati earlier, and she is like your first companion, and the whole time. She's just amazing, as Emma will probably tell you.
She's perfection.
She's you know, very enthusiastic, super smart. Her dialogue was witty. We were like, before I even did that, we were saving robots and all sorts of stuff together. So I, in a very short amount of time, put a lot of trust in this NPC.
Oh, yes. And I trust her with my life.
I trust this NPC. Something told me, even when that guy was being a dick, she was like, oh, but, you know, he does this okay. You know, I wish he didn't do this. So she's very level-headed. And then as we get up to the power converter, she says, I don't know what you're planning on doing, but if I can please just say, can you please give power to the people? I know to the city. I know it's not perfect, but there's so many people there. And she changed my mind on the spot. It's like, okay, Parvati, I'm going to do that. It's just the right thing to do.
What's stopping people from moving from the city to the deserter colony?
I was thinking that same thing. Yeah. I was like, maybe if we put a city to the deserter colony, people will move there or something. Or, you
it's
know.
Basically because their entire culture revolves around this company. Their jobs, their lives, their everything revolves around this company. And they're like, if I leave, I'm deserting this company. I'm losing my place in my entire culture, and I have no job. I have no money. I have no livelihood.
Yeah, and it's like dangerous out there too. They don't have like the big secure walls like everybody else, so they have kind of limited. I don't know how many more people that colony could take. So unlike Emma, I didn't get this weird murder plan in my head. I went straight back to the lady that I diverted power away from her.
Yeah,
and I told her like, listen, this is what I did. And this is why I did it. And then through her dialogue trees, basically I found out that I can go back to him and try and convince him to leave. And because I spec'd towards dialogue, I went back to him and basically told him all the cool shit she has, because she's come up with a way to make the land fertile again and heal people. And I went back and I told him, like, you know, he's kind of a failure and that she's out here doing all these amazing things. And he got this pity. And he just said, you know what? I'm just going to, I'm obviously not a good enough leader. And he left.
Wow. I just straight up killed him.
You took the man's life unnecessarily.
Yeah, he deserved it.
I texted you as soon as I made the decision because I was really curious on how our paths are going to vary in this game because although I love it so much, I'm not sure I'm going to go back. And you can only play through first one time.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of this game is that you play it and then you find other people who are playing it and you find out the weird shit that they did and how they tackled situations.
Yeah.
I had no idea what Emma said was going to work.
It was neither did I. I couldn't believe the game accounted for it. I thought it was going to break something. But there's actual, like, you go back to her and she's like, one of the first things she says is, you're telling me you killed that guy so that I would be in charge? And I'm like, she knows!
Yeah.
She gets it!
That's so good development.
The game, like, somewhere in making these decision trees, the writers and the devs knew everything. Like, so I want to I wish they would release just even the very first one. Every single decision tree that can come off of that.
Yeah.
I want to know how many there are.
It's got to be boundless.
Wait, so that's just the first decision?
That's the very first
decision. That's just the first decision.
It took me 3 hours to get there.
Have you guys beaten the game?
No.
So he sounds like the ultimate boss.
No,
like
he's the first person
like,
you meet.
Like I'm saying, this first...
Or one of the first people you meet.
That's intense.
Until you get on your ship and make it leave orbit for the first time,
yeah,
it's pretty much the tutorial because you have to do this set of steps before it really becomes open world.
It took me 4 hours to get off
Edgewater. So I'm not going to lie. When I played this game... And Pavarti Patel has to be very convincing because I've pretty much already made up my mind I'm going to divert it to the colony because in my mind, I'm like, what's to stop these people from leaving? Yes, I understand the culture thing, but clearly they're not doing well in the city, even though they have money and they have a job and they have all this protection and all that. They're still getting sick and dying. So why be stressed out over a job that's not, like, fulfilling you and go live in this colony where they have all this cool shit?
But that colony can't hold that many people. That city can hold those people.
But if more people from the city go to the colony, then that's more hands that can help expand the colony and build the colony out. Emma.
That's
just go straight to murdering people.
No, it's about leadership.
This is exactly the beauty of this game, and that's all I wanted in an RPG is really good decisions.
What? What companion? Sorry, Dan, who we've talked about before, works in the game, is in our chat. Yeah. He says, my decision prevented me from being able to recruit a certain companion. I wonder who.
Oh. Emma.
He goes, Emma didn't even talk to Reed before shooting him in the skull and running away.
And then I had to kill his guards because they saw. And then this was the part that annoyed me. This is the part that annoyed me about the game. So I killed him, and then I killed his guards because they were both there.
They have children, Emma.
Not my problem. So I killed his guards. So at that point, nobody has seen this happen because anybody who saw it is dead. I go outside and they immediately try to kill me. Like they know. How do they know?
Do you think it's soundproof? They can hear gunshots.
It
Emma.
Was outside the building, and I used a plasma rifle.
Wow.
You're telling me they can't hear that?
I'm just saying.
That was just the first decision.
That's the very first decision you make.
This game is free on Xbox Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass and you're listening to it.
I don't know what that means, but yes, it
is. I was wondering if you let that one go yet.
No, it's not what that means, but you can get it if you have Game Pass.
This game costs you no money if you already have the Game Pass. Safe to say?
That statement is accurate.
No, it costs you no extra money if you already have the Game Pass.
Okay. I'll agree to disagree.
Yeah.
What? Interesting. So he can be a companion.
Well, you think I had you talk to a certain NPC before you did your thing?
Yeah. So Dan kind of prodded me to go talk to somebody before I did it, and I didn't know why. And I was like, "Don't tell me why. I'll go do it." But yeah, we'll figure. So I guess I can't. I guess he's gonna be a companion at some point, but not for me.
So especially now that I know both of you did the city. I definitely want to do the colony now because I want to see how the game differs.
Yeah, that's the fun thing. Just to see. I would take lots of save points in this game so you can go back through and try different things out. I've done it once. I've done it once because I fucked up. I went somewhere I wasn't supposed to and guards started shooting at me.
Oh, you went to a restricted area?
And I had to murder everybody. And I was like, that's not how I'm trying to play this game.
I had to murder everybody.
So no. I did. That was self-defense.
I totally get it. That's what happened to me when I played Red Dead 2. I was trying to help somebody who had like fallen off her horse. And like she went to go hand me something. And I went to go take it. And I hit the wrong action button.
And you hit the punch?
Oh. No, I shot her. I shot her dead. And then and then there was a witness that came over. And he goes, hey, what's going on? And I tried to talk him down. And he goes, I'm going to go get the police. I was like,
oh, I got to kill
it.
You now.
Boom, and I killed him. And then I was hiding the bodies. And just as I dropped the body, another person comes up. It's like, what's going on here? I was like, damn it, dude. Boom.
This is why we play RPGs.
Oh, man.
The decision making in a game is good when there's no clear cut right decision.
Yeah.
It's so good. And it's even better when there's multiple layers. Because I feel like in other games that would have had, let's say it was all the same up until the decision of diverting the power. I feel like 9 out of 10 RPGs, that's the end of that mission decision. You know, there's a winner, there's a loser, and you move on.
Yeah.
The fact that there was able to be multiple routes to still get that woman and that colony in power and the right people where they needed to
be
is crazy game development.
It boggles my mind that they, like, maybe I'm just not as original as I think. Maybe this is what a lot of people did and I am just reading too much into it. But, like, the decision that I made doesn't seem like one that's clear cut and that you would automatically think to do. But they're, like, her dialogue accounts for it. She said to me, like, we had a conversation about the fact that she thought it was crazy that I killed him to put her in power.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And you're like, that's just a Tuesday for me.
I'm like, I can't deal with it. I don't understand.
I feel like when they were developing it, they go, okay, hang on. So we have almost all scenarios, but what if we were a sadist?
what would we do?
We would kill somebody. Okay, so let's make it so you can kill this person.
Dan says, depending on your path, your decision on Edgewater can affect what you were required to do for other quests.
It has to be at that point.
And then I had to talk. So the other thing, I had to talk Parvati down because she hated me when I killed Reed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to talk her down to get her back on my side because she's just like, you just killed him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another great thing. Like the different NPCs, the different companions usually have different personality types and they agree with certain things you do and disagree with others. So if you live or do certain actions, they'll leave you in some games.
If Parvati ever leaves me, I will die. I saw that it's that Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I've known Parvati for an hour, and if everything ever happened to her, I would kill everybody in this room and then myself.
Jesus. She's amazing, though. She's definitely, like, my sparrow. Like, I protect her from things. Like, when I know I'm going on a big mission that's going to require, like, a lot of massacre or shady stuff, I leave her back on the ship and take my rogue type people.
If you play on Supernova, which is the hardest difficulty, your companions can die permanently.
Never. I'm never playing
never.
That.
She would live on the ship.
Yeah.
She would live on the ship. She would never leave, except when we go to the Groundbreaker to go meet her new girlfriend.
I'm so invested in her relationship.
That is the best. Her relationship quest is the best quest in this entire game.
So far,
I'm so invested in getting her a girlfriend.
Yeah, she finds
I'm more invested in her relationships than I am in mine.
It's really good. Just about every mission I've done has felt like fluid. The one thing, if I had to be critical, if I had to come up with like one critique, it would probably be the weapons, because I feel like just based off of, and probably even consumables, I haven't used one consumable this entire game. I use my little gas mask thing to recoup some of my health, but I rarely upgrade my weapons. I've been rocking most of the same weapons from the first planet. And so I'm running through mowing people down and things, not using any consumables.
Yeah.
It took me 8 hours into the game to realize how to use consumables.
Yeah, it's not really necessary.
I had no idea how the inhaler worked for 8 hours.
Oh, wait, even the inhaler thing?
I had no idea what it was.
Whoa. Well, but that's...
And yes, I was yelling at Dan on stream. I'm like, why didn't you tell me that's what this is? I have no idea how to use this.
You know what I think the issue is the health regenerates itself. In games like Fallout...
And it auto-loads in Adreno. So I assumed that whatever the left bumper was, which uses your inhaler, was just, oh, it's health packs. I didn't realize you're loading consumables into it to give you different effects. I had no idea.
See, in Fallout, you needed to use them because your health didn't regen. So I was, like, eating apples, and I was just eating random shit off the floor to try and regenerate my health. In this game, I just sell basically everything. I make sure I have like one of everything because I'm always afraid I'm going to run into an NPC that says like, oh my God, I haven't had a box of Cheerios in a while. And it's like, oh, I happen to have one, you know, so I get some XP out of it or something. So I keep one of every item, but the game is amazing. The shooting, the aiming mechanics, all that stuff is super fluid. Like, I feel really good.
Like Spider-Man.
I feel like Spider-Man every time I shoot someone in the face. All that's great. Just the weapon management system, even the weapon upgrades and armor upgrades is
cool. It
took
me forever to figure out how to fix my weapons too.
Oh, I figured all that stuff out pretty easily. It's just like you go to a workbench.
I went to the workbench and I was like, I could see how to mod it, but I didn't see the menu up top that I had to switch over to a different menu to get into the fixing.
Oh.
And then I realized you can just fix your weapons from within your regular inventory. You don't have to go to a workbench.
Yeah. Wait, you can?
Yeah. Just hold Y. There's a button that says hold Y to repair all.
I did not know that.
And now you know.
I think the biggest highlight of all of this is the fact that because of mine and Emma's hard work on keeping Corey from talking about this game, it is a success.
Yes.
So you're welcome, Yoshi.
Wow. Why can't we just instead say that I broke the curse? Because if you guys will remember, that E3 when all this shit came out, I was on this game's nuts from day fucking one.
That's true.
Everyone
and then we
else
told you not to.
You guys all rolled your eyes when I
no,
yes,
no.
You all did.
You shut your mouth
everybody,
when you're talking to me.
Can
everybody
go back to our E3 episode and listen to me be excited about this
go
game?
Go back, listen to that episode. You were not excited. You were probably the most upset at it because or it was probably just because I was so into it.
No.
Someone dig this episode up.
But you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
You were too busy talking about Dead Stranding and the game where you're the deer and stuff. You know that while you were all hyped on those, this is the only game on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I broke the curse, everybody.
No, you didn't. You're not allowed to talk about games that we like.
Oh,
I just realized After Party came out today. That's going to be next week's What You Playing.
What is that?
After Party is that game where you and your friend die at a party and then you end up in hell and you realize there's a loophole and if you outdrink Satan, you can get to heaven.
That's 100% a game that you would play.
Yeah. And it's literally a game of you and your best friend trying to, and then first you have to like outdrink all of his deputies in hell to get to him. It's like all these different demons. You get to Satan and you have to outdrink him.
What's the drinking mechanic?
I'm not sure. I think that's like it's a few like different mini games and things. But I'm not entirely certain. But it looks like the aesthetics of the game is really cool. The dialogue that they showed in the trailers is really funny. It just looks like it's going to be good.
Well, before we move on, like I said, everybody, if you're looking for that next RPG to hold you over until Cyberpunk and then beyond, definitely check out Outer Worlds. If you have the Games Pass, it's an absolute no-brainer. I have it on the Game Pass Ultimate on the PC, and it's running super smooth. It's the business. If you're not playing Call of Duty, this is definitely the game. I bought Call of Duty and I haven't played it yet just because every free moment I have, I'm playing the Outer Worlds. So check that game out. Shout out to our boy in the chat, Yoshi Producer, Dan, for, he's always been dropping us little nuggets of information. He never gave us like any real nuggets of information, but
no.
He's been like, I don't know. It's been nice having him around and I'm so happy for him. To be a part of a project you don't know it's going to be a huge success.
And how successful?
On your resume, you know, when you're moving on and to say you are a part of the team of, you know, social media or promotions or, you know, whatever he's doing for this game, it's a huge notch in his belt. And so good. I love when good people get good rewards. So congratulations to him, the entire Obsidian team. When we did our episode a couple months ago about our favorite developers, this was on my list because I've loved Obsidian for years and years. And when they don't disappoint you, like Fallout 4 or Bethesda has to me recently, that's all you could ask for. It's the best feeling when a game doesn't disappoint you. And it's been a long time since I've been able to say that about a game. So I definitely appreciate it. Let's get to a little bit of gaming news, everybody. News. So we have a new... I redid all the theme songs while you were gone, David. You missed the last episode. But.
I missed the last episode.
Yeah.
But I had my headphones on, so all I heard was silence and then news.
Why don't you put your headphones on? Here, put your headphones on so I can do the theme song.
All right,
song
because I've known all the theme songs, so I haven't needed it.
Brand new theme song. Here we go.
All right. It's the same theme song.
News. You got it already?
I know.
That's exactly what I was going for.
That's how good I am.
It's an earworm.
It's an earworm.
First news story. Emma, you can rejoice while a lot of PlayStation 4 people get angry. So Death Stranding, the game.
Oh, this is a dumb story.
The game starring Norman Reedus. This is a
dumb. Can you imagine?
I spent so much time on these.
You're watching the news, and the newscaster is looking at the prompter. Oh, this is a dumb story. All right, well, some people did some stuff, and they got arrested. So let's move on to sports or something.
Death Stranding, everybody's favorite game starring Norman Reedus, is coming out for PS4. We all knew that. It's coming out fairly soon.
Next week.
November 8th.
Next week.
And it also got announced that it's going to be out on the PC early summer in 2020. And a lot of
it's not even coming out at the same time. People can suck a dick.
Yeah, people got mad though because we love our exclusives, especially console players. That's all. Really, why else would you play games on console unless to play those exclusives these days? Well, this is going to be coming out on the PC. They're out. They're having a company called 505 Games put it out, and no word on if it's going to have any special features or have any advantages or anything. It's not like it's a multiplayer game. So I don't see why people would get upset about this.
I wish I had so little going on in my life that I could be upset about a game coming out on PC instead of being exclusive to PS4.
Imagine being such a dick that you're mad that other people get to play a game.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, weird.
Console war people are the dumbest people. I don't understand. Like, one of my roommates in college was really bad about that. Like, he had a PS4 and, you know, I had my Xbox, and he would, like, try to fight me about it. And he's like, he would just, like, try to pick fights with me. And I'm like, dude, I literally don't care. Like, he's like, well, PS4 is so much better. I'm like, I'm glad you think so because you have a PS4. It would suck if you had an Xbox and thought PS4 was better.
Yeah.
He's like, well, aren't you upset that, like, I think your Xbox is shit? And I'm like, I really couldn't care less because it's mine, not yours.
Yeah.
I think there is some validity, I guess. Like, if you spent the money on a console because of the exclusives and then that game goes to, like, everybody, I guess I could see why you would be upset. I'm just trying to see through their lens.
No, there's no way to see through their lens because you're still getting the game. It's not like you're saying, I'm buying the PS4 so I can get the exclusive Death Stranding.
Also, the game is coming out, what, like 8 months later?
Right, it's unlimited, but it's not like you're saying, I'm gonna get this console so I can get this game because it's going to be exclusive. Oh, never mind. It's switching. It's not going to be on the PS4 after all, like, ever. It's only going to be on PC now. Okay, then yeah, maybe be upset about it. But you're still getting the game either way. Why does it matter?
Yeah.
Stupid. People are stupid.
I think this game is stupid. I mean, maybe that's why I'm not so invested, because I just don't think this game's going to be good.
I'm excited. I'm here for it. I still want that Death Stranding PS4 looks pretty.
They made a Death Stranding PS4.
Were you not on that episode when we talked about that? There's a Death Stranding like limited edition PS4.
I think I was on that.
And it looks, I mean, it looks really nice. The controller is hideous. But
is it a fetus?
Yeah, does it have a baby in it?
No. Oh. no, but so it's like yellow and kind of like clear. You know, like yellow? Those Mad Catz controllers that were clear, like you could like see the innards. So it's like that, but
the
yellow.
Innards?
You can see the innards.
Yeah, the innards of the controller.
You can see the circuitry. You can see the innards. It's yellow.
She's been playing Outer Worlds too long.
So it's one of those, but it's yellow and it just looks hideous. But apparently the baby in the little incubator is going to speak to you through your controller.
Oh, nope. I heard about that.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't like that.
Yeah. Thanks, PlayStation, for your controller with speakers. So that can be a thing.
Death Stranding. I'm trying to look up the PS4.
The PlayStation's actually pretty. It's got like, yeah, it's got the splatters, the hand things and the drips, and it looks really cool, but that controller's hideous.
It does look like a Mad Catz controller.
It does. The only thing, the touchpad on it has the game's like typography logo, which is looks really cool. I'm like, I want just that on
that
a regular,
does look cool.
Or like on a white controller that has like the same design.
Yeah, why did they make it yellow?
Because I think it's because it makes the baby sounds. It's supposed to be like the incubator, and that's what color the incubator thing is.
That's just weird.
I just love that you said innards.
What? It's a word. People use it.
See, this one
is a word.
See, that one looks way better. This one looks way better. Webb's looking at a version that looks fan-made.
Probably fan-made, yeah, but it looks way better.
Next story, Red Dead Redemption, pre-loadable on the PC now. So also this week. November 5th.
Oh, okay, that's quick.
So on the November 5th, Red Dead Redemption 2 will be available on PC, which I don't know. I don't quite understand why Rockstar has adapted this strategy with their last couple games. They wait a long time before they make the jump to PC. I don't know if it's just a production time thing.
It's because we just did a story about people being pissed that's being announced on PC, so they're waiting for it to calm down.
They definitely, yeah.
And then they say, okay, now PC, you can play.
Well, the GTA 5 is still popular on PC, and especially in the modding community.
I think that's where I have it. I have it on PC.
Yeah, so this one's pretty interesting. The one downfall is you're going to have to make sure you have an extra 150 gigabytes free.
Oh my god!
This is a unit of a download.
What?
Yeah.
In what fucking world is a game 150 gigs?
Have you seen this Rockstar one? Games?
Like, on console, it's not that big.
This is PC. You gotta imagine they got those 4K textures.
Oh my
in
god!
There. This gonna, yeah, this is
no.
There's a lot to it.
No, Rockstar, go fuck yourself.
It's gonna run.
I'm not deleting 17 other games so I can install this.
The PC will feature
Modern Warfare is 175 gigs.
It is.
Are you people out of your
on
fucking
PC?
Minds?
Yeah, on PC. Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's the thing about PC gaming, man.
That's bigger. Yeah, need that. No, wait. I was say that's bigger SSD than my sale. SSD, but my SSD is 250. But like, That's like two-thirds of my SSD.
There's going to be a feature.
I can do math. Shut up.
There's going to be a bunch of enhancements.
Hyperbolic.
In here, too. They're going to have new bounty hunter missions, gang hideouts, treasure maps, horses. It's full new story stuff. And then Red Dead Online has evolved significantly since the game originally came out. So, I mean, that on top of ultra special graphics and textures is got to be the 150. But, you know, CFDJ in our chat brings up a good point. Modern Warfare. I do not understand how Modern Warfare is more.
And you have to have a specific driver for it.
Tronica's
which is bullshit.
In chat saying basically it's an SSD per game. So you have all these SSDs in your PC labeled Modern Warfare.
That's disgusting.
Red Dead.
That's actually disgusting.
And that's the only thing that's on that.
That's everybody that wants to be PC Master Race can suck my dick because that's outrageous.
Well, I mean, anybody who has a gaming PC with not enough storage space on it, I mean, what are you doing with yourself?
Playing consoles.
Oh, I'm sorry. I only have a terabyte drive. I'm sorry. I can only have 5 games.
I don't think that's how math works.
If it's a 200 gig game, all right?
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
I think that's exactly how math works.
You're offending a lot of people in chat.
That's fine.
They're feeling a little
bit
judged. You
should feel judged.
Here's one happy news story for you, Emma. Benioff and Weiss fired from Star Wars. Actually, there's a little. I've read multiple headlines. Some say they were fired. Some say they quit.
Leaving the project.
They left because of creative differences.
They left because they were asked to leave. Fuck off. I want somebody in chat or somebody in the community to go back because I'm lazy and find one of our Game of Thrones podcasts where we were talking about how they rushed through the last season of Game of Thrones and it was so bad because all they cared about was getting to Star Wars. And wouldn't it be the ultimate vindication if they lost Star Wars because of it? It fucking happened, everybody. This is everything I wanted from this situation. Fuck Benioff and Weiss.
Well, it's not like they're left with nothing to do, right?
Don't they have like a 9-movie deal with Netflix or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. I guess they have a pretty lucrative $250 million deal with Netflix.
But it's not Star Wars, and that's what they wanted, so I'm happy. Fuck them. Did you see? So that one of the fuck the
Netflix. Netflix just throws money at movies and TV shows anyway. Like, a lot of the time, like they have really good shows, but a lot of the time they'll just make something and like it's just pretty shitty, and then like all right, that's fine. On to the next one. They have so many Netflix originals that are just not that great, so they don't care if they spend $250.
Hear me out here though. Star Wars is kind of losing its luster for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't think Star Wars is the big franchise it once was. And we talk about how toxic the community is towards the actors and things. So I'm surprised you're not happier that they just would stay with the project. That way you have one giant ball that you just don't care about.
No, but I like Star Wars.
You do?
I love Star Wars.
I didn't know you like Star Wars.
I'm sorry. Do either of you have your tickets? For The Rise of Skywalker?
No, because I'm not liking Star Wars anymore.
I have my tickets for The Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
So along the same lines of this story, it came out at the same time. Did you guys see the, they were at some like panel or interview or something. I know you saw because I think I sent it to you. Mm-hmm. The answers, like they were talking about like the process of making Game of Thrones and how unprepared and uncaring they were. Did you see any of that?
No.
So this was, I mean, it's outrageous. At one point, somebody asks them like point blank. They're like, when you're writing the show, did you read the books and then plot out the plot points and that's how you wrote the show? And they're like, no, we didn't want to do that. They like flat out were like, no, we didn't care. That's not what we wanted to do. Let's see. I'm reading I'm looking at the thread right now. And this is fantastic. So one of the things that it says, Dan is saying that Game of Thrones was basically an expensive film school for he and Dave. They had no idea how to work with costume designers, and it was a huge learning experience. When they got Game of Thrones, they had zero experience. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know how to write a TV show. They didn't know how to direct a TV show. They didn't know that you're supposed to have multiple writers for a TV show. They didn't know how to, again, like they said, work with costume designers and how that works with the characters. The moderators asking them about their comments, acknowledging they didn't understand the characters, and the extra minutes helped them understand the characters better. So I guess Game of Thrones, when they first did the pilot and the first season, their episodes were averaging 39 minutes. And HBO told them, they're like, you need 100 extra minutes of footage. And they were like, what? And that was when they realized, this is bonkers to me. They were done. HBO told them they needed 100 extra minutes. And that's when they realized they didn't have a single scene of Robert and Cersei together. Not one. And they were like, oh, shit, I guess we could fill some of that 100 minutes with a Robert and Cersei scene. They're fucking married.
Well, I don't know. I think those first seasons came out perfect, though. Like, there's nothing wrong with the first seasons. I don't think you can let their track record for the last season completely ruin the legacy of Game of Thrones.
Not necessarily, but things like this show you just, like, when we thought that they were perfect for this and they cared, you know that they didn't.
Oh, yeah. No,
like, one
I
of the things that they said, this is a quote, Dan wanted to remove as many fantasy elements as possible because, quote, we didn't just want to appeal to that type of fan. They wanted to expand the fan base to people beyond the fantasy fan base to, quote, mothers and NFL players.
What the hell?
It's a fantasy series.
I just want to make something Tom Brady will like.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
No love loss here. The only thing I care about is Mandalorian at this point. The trailers have looked amazing.
I haven't seen the new trailer yet, but I heard it's crazy.
There's a new one. The first trailer had me hooked.
First trailer was good.
They didn't even need to make a second trailer.
Well, Disney Plus is giving these like movie budgets. This is the most expensive TV show, quote unquote, ever made. It's like $15 to $20 million episode.
It's going
to
be awesome.
Well, an episode?
What's the price of the Disney Plus thing again? Isn't it like just dirt cheap?
If you got it on the special, it was 3 years for like $200 or something.
Jeez, I think monthly though, it's going to be like less than $15 a month.
Yeah.
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 And you get tons of stuff from it. Aren't they packaging it too, where you get like ESPN?
Yeah, you can do one where you get Disney Plus, ESPN, and Hulu. Ooh,
it's
for like $12 a month.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but it's and, commercial Hulu.
But that's Hulu with the commercial still.
Yeah, no, I'm not about that.
Damn.
CFDJ in chat says the first month is $1. That's how they hook you. And then it's $11 a month after
I'm
that.
I'm getting it. 100%. No questions.
Oh, yeah. I got it. I did the 3-year thing.
Jeez.
So I'm locked in.
Yeah. Next thing. Modern Warfare has sold more units in its first 3 days than any other Call of Duty has this console generation. So Call of Duty sales are looking good. Last couple
How many
weeks,
have there been this generation? And haven't they all sucked?
Here's the thing. They make
make a lot of money.
I asked myself the same thing. I was like, that doesn't sound too impressive. You know, the current generation, there's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is the 7th Call of Duty game.
Oh, my God.
I was gonna say,
we've had this console generation.
Easy way to tell. How long has this generation been last?
How many years?
Yeah, how many years?
Multiply that by games.
Multiply that by, boom. That's how many Call of Duties we've had.
But this one sold $600 million in the first 3 days, which is a full.
Where's that number come from?
IGN.
I wonder where they got it, because we don't track that.
Like,
there's no public tracking for sales. That's why we've talked about that on the show before. Whenever we talk about sales, it's always in England in physical copies.
I mean, it's IGN, so I don't really check their sources. because I mean it's IGN. It's IGN.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's all right. That's fine.
As long as it's
bad journalist.
I am a terrible journalist. The second place one was Black Ops 4, which was the most the other one after this, and it was
$100 of that was Corey.
$500 million, American. But this is kind of answering our questions. We were unsure what this game's success was going to be, especially with the
esports
scene.
I never doubted that it would sell like crazy. I doubted whether it would be good.
That's debatable too. I mean, like I said, I can't say too much because I have not played it yet because of Outer Worlds. But I'm hearing a lot of people say the campaign is amazing.
If you don't mind not watching cutscenes.
Why?
They're all like lagged and glitched and won't play right. If you want to watch the cutscenes at the end of the game, you have to go back and watch it as a cinematic, like the whole thing. Sure. It's like a known issue and they're like, we're working on it. I'm like, oh, they don't Call of Duty game that doesn't really give a shit about the campaign. Color me shocked.
I hear that the multiplayer is where it's at, but the maps are garbage.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are bitching about the maps just being like too many angles to peek and look around. And the game mode that's really taking off is the 2v2 because it makes it a little more tactical. So.
I always liked gun game. I'm glad that that's in there.
Yeah. No, that's fun. I'm glad they added that one to Overwatch. It's a good thing.
Did they really?
Yeah. Overwatch had
a version. Wait, how long has it been there?
It's been there for about since they announced the game creator. You know how you can go in there and make your own game modes and stuff?
Oh.
It launched alongside that.
It's been almost a year.
It's been a long time. but yeah, the game seems to be doing well. The scene is good. The viewership has been crazy because all the big streamers have been on it. Now time will tell. It's interesting because it's cross-platform, so there's been rivalry between the console players and the PC players. You can go on YouTube and look up. Like I fell down the rabbit hole yesterday on YouTube. You could look up toxic Call of Duty players.
Ugh.
And you can hear now finally the worst of the console players have been thrown into the ball pit with the worst of the PC players, and it shows you what peripherals they're playing with in the lobby.
Yeah.
Oh,
so the
man.
Pre-game shit talk is the best.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
If you win with a controller against someone with PC, they just light people up. Like, oh my god, you're using a fucking PC mouse and keyboard and you still lost? Like, you got to be ready to throw down with the trash talk in there or just mute everybody.
I was going to say, or just don't talk to anybody.
Yeah, go Emma style and just, mute everybody.
Just enjoy your life, people.
It's pretty toxic, pretty interesting. I will break away from Outer Worlds to play this game, hopefully by the next episode. But no promises. And then last news, we saved the biggest one for last. Overwatch 2 rumors have been flying off the shelves this last week.
Because Blizzard doesn't know how to keep a lid on anything.
I don't know what happened. It feels like in the past they've been so good at it. But
I feel like it's not even that they leaked their own shit.
Accidentally, right?
On accident. It's they're like, who's the leaker? It's you, Blizzard. Yeah. You are.
Look in a mirror.
You put it in a fucking tweet.
Yeah.
And didn't notice that you announced Diablo 4.
Yeah. And like, I guess in the store, there was some artwork from Overwatch 2 that leaked some like costume stuff. Anyways, the big things that the big points we can hit is free to play. People are thinking that they're going to announce free to play.
Oh, free to play for Overwatch 1?
Well, okay. I guess we should start there. The lead, this is not confirmed. This is all just rumors. But the thought is that much like Fortnite, this is going to be an add-on. That it's not going to be, it's going to be like Overwatch Chapter 2. We don't even know it's going to be called Overwatch 2. It might be Overwatch Chapter 2, Season 2, who knows, whatever they're going to call it. It'll be a facelift graphical update because there's been like screenshots of characters released. Yeah. And it looks like they did change the character models and smooth them out to make it feel a little more modern.
Okay.
Put a Facetune on that.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like they've done that. Like they're a little bit better shaded and things like that. And what do you think? So let's say
I'm excited about it because they're seeming to put a bigger emphasis on PvE. I want a narrative PvE Overwatch game.
So have you heard any of the rumors on exactly what we can expect from the PvE?
I've heard that there's going to be more PvE that's like that's similar to the events that we've had. That's similar to what do they even call them?
They call them events.
No, like, I know, like, but, like, they're names that I'm blanking on. Like, the one where you play as, like, young Tracer on her first mission. But, like, you're fighting against Omnix and stuff, or Junkenstein kind of things. Overwatch Archives, yeah. So I've heard that the PvE is going to be something like that. I've heard rumors that there will be a narrative to it. They are talking about doing a 4v4 sort of a mode as opposed to Overwatch's current 6v6. And then they talked about, what did I write it down? They talked about a new mode called Push, which is supposed to be like a sort of quasi mix of, I'm trying to come up with words to fill space while I pull this.
It's a mix of like, what, the current game modes?
Never mind, I don't know.
Wow.
Overwatch will see its first new mode since the game was released in beta in 2015 with Push, set to be unveiled along Assault, Control, Escort, and Hybrid. Push will be set on a new map based in Toronto.
Interesting. So do you think, let's operate under the assumption that this is going to be an expansion and it's going to be free to play.
Is it though? Because I feel like Blizzard needs the money.
I think they'll make the money in having a player base again and microtransactions.
Microtransactions?
That's going to be my DJ name.
Microtransactions.
DJ microtransactions.
It's like how Mitt Romney had his
money.
Yeah, you know, Mitt Romney had like Pierre Deco or whatever get leaked.
Yeah.
Mine's going to be microtransactions.
I thought you were talking about the R money thing because that was fucking hilarious.
No. But the
microtransactions featuring Alpha David, the most hyped mixtape coming next summer.
I think if the game goes free to play, let's just operate under that assumption, Emma. Is that enough, though? Do you think that'll bring people back?
No.
You don't think so?
Bring people back to what? They've already paid for the game. Why would they come back? It could bring in new players, I guess.
Well, I mean,
I've left the game. I haven't played the game in
David's
in
left.
Like, they're like, oh man, it's free to play now. I'm gonna go back.
But no, and it's gonna be called Overwatch 2 with the new characters and the new game modes and PvE.
If it's a new game, it could bring people back. If it's just an expansion on Overwatch,
it's a blurred line.
If it's a PvE
what
expansion,
in the name of God was that?
it's a PvE expansion,
it's my Robin Thicke impression.
I'm coming back because that's like the one
thing
I really wanted because I love those missions, those events when you play PvE.
Okay,
I want to know more of the story.
Forget that it's a update. Let's just say they say Overwatch 2 is coming out and it's going to have PvE, everything you know and love, a new character, and it's going to be free to play.
Done.
Yeah.
That's
where do I sign up?
That's enough to bring everyone in?
I mean, I would probably come back for like a hot minute and see if I like it. But like the thing with Overwatch,
I'd be back for a cool minute.
I think with a lot of what happened with Overwatch is that the same thing that happened with me and a lot of them like less hardcore players is like we were really, really into it. And then now I come back once every few months and play a couple games and then I fall off and I play something else. And I mean,
well, when the game first came out, it was hot. Like, it was really hot. Everybody was playing it. Everyone was dressing up as the characters. Everybody identified with characters that they loved.
Because it was new and it was unique and it was exciting. And that new, unique excitingness has kind of worn off a bit.
How much of that can they recapture with Overwatch 2?
It depends on how different it is.
I do not think it's going to be as much as that. I don't think you can be able to replicate when it first came out. I think you can be able to come close.
So somebody in chat is talking about WoW and this is likened to what, like Cataclysm. Cataclysm came out and it like severely changed the way the game worked and it peaked at what, 12 million subscribers for WoW when Cataclysm came out. And now they're down to like less than 2 million.
Wow.
Like they stopped reporting when they hit 5 million a few years after Cataclysm and they were just like, we're not putting these numbers out anymore because it's fucking
embarrassing. Not worth it.
And then at some point, either this year or last year, there was some sort of like API bug or something and people were able to see and they were down to like 1.7 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you can have something that changes the face of your game, and then people just drop off.
Yeah. I don't know. They need to do something big. I hope there's more than one character that gets revealed in this whole thing.
I want it to be the robot from the McCree short.
I believe that's what it's going to be. That's
better be her.
That's the leading.
I want Eve.
Is that her name, Eve?
No, she just looks like Eve from WALL-E.
Oh. No, I think that's pretty much the leading assumption is it's going to be that character. But we will see BlizzCon right around the corner, everybody. It does start.
People are already there.
Yeah, people are there starting to hang out. It doesn't technically start until the 1st, though, right? Yeah,
yes,
not
it's Friday and Saturday.
It starts Friday. It's a two-day thing.
Which is bizarre to me that BlizzCon does a lot of weird decisions that I don't understand.
Yeah, you know, I've never been to one, so.
You've never been to BlizzCon?
I have not been to BlizzCon.
Negative.
That's awkward.
Yeah, you know, I would say the same thing. Yeah. Well, that was the news. Wow. We got through a lot today, guys. I really just can't wait to play more Outer Worlds. I don't know about you, Emma. Are you going to play more tonight? Are you playing only on stream?
I'm playing only on stream, which is hard. I know.
Why would you do that?
And I'm not streaming it tomorrow because I'm doing Halloween streams.
You got to play for fun. Can't you just start like another save and just play for yourself?
But I don't want to just keep replaying the same shit over and over.
Do it different.
Even though it's different, like I want to, I just want to play what I want to play. I just want to play my story all the way through.
Hmm. All right.
One of the things I don't miss about streaming is having to wait to stream to play the game again.
I might stream myself playing it, but no one would get to see the full playthrough because there's
right.
no way.
There's no way you're going to wait.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awkward. Dan's asking if I gave you your shirt and I left it at home.
What?
I have a shirt for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's at home. Wow.
I'm so excited.
I got my shirt, Dan. Oh, wait.
I'm for legitimately.
Oh, hey, nice. That was good.
Made that decision halfway through.
100%. I am. I'm standing this game. Like I.
We stand since day one.
Yeah. I'm obsessed, kind of, with the new character, like that moon guy.
Oh my God! I was almost crying, laughing at him.
You see him at the on the
Groundbreaker.
On the Groundbreaker. Yeah.
I went through his whole dialogue tree.
Did you buy the mask?
You can buy the mask?
Yeah. Did you see what he's selling? He sells that mask.
Oh, I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't buy anything from him. I just had a whole conversation about what a horrible life he has, and then I walked away. I didn't buy anything.
It's such a good game, man. I'm standing this game. I cannot wait to play it some more. Emma Skies, when you do decide to stream again, where can people watch it, and what's on the menu?
You can find me at twitch.tv/EmmaSkies. Tomorrow, Halloween, I will be live, I believe, at noon with something scary. I don't really know what.
Ooh, it's going to be spooky.
It will be spooky, but it's less spooky because it's in the daytime because I have to work at night. And then Sunday. Nope. Just kidding.
Just kidding? All right. David Webb, you've been out there doing real life stuff. Any
real
chance
stuff.
We catch you streaming or at least moderating some vast channels?
Maybe. Not streaming. Streaming, I think, at least for the time being, is behind me.
Did you retire?
I retired from streaming officially.
Wow.
Retired on top.
Hey.
Peaked at 7 viewers, and I'm like, hey, I'm not going to do better than this, so I'm going to go out on a high note.
Yeah.
But yeah, just go check out vast.gg. Website VastGG on all social medias, and we got some good stuff cooking.
Dope. And as for myself, man, it's. I think I'm gonna start streaming a little bit more because I've been having so much fun with this game. I don't know if I'm gonna be entertaining streaming it though, because I read everything, and it's
so
just,
do I.
It's just gonna be me with my mouth open, just kind of reading.
Yeah.
I don't want to read it out loud.
That's what I do.
This ain't kindergarten.
That's what I do. And then I have a stroke on stream and I read something wrong. It's great.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you can find podcasts. You can find this, even Pandora Radio. So you can check out Video Game Bang. Spotify has it too. And I've been listening to past episodes. How narcissistic is it?
I was about to say, you fucking narcissist.
I listen to past episodes when I'm at the gym. I've been going to the gym lately a few times a week, and I've been catching up on my own Video Game Bang podcast. So I was like, oh, I've been going back and listening to old ones because occasionally in my time hop, I still have time hop, thing pops up and it said 4 years ago this week we did that big show with Raphael Van Lierop, our very first one with Janice Davis, Nika Harper, and Nerd Reactor.
Oh, yeah.
So I went back and listened to that one. And then while I was back there, I was like, oh, the Ashley Burch episode. That's classic. And I listened to that one. I'm going and re-listening to the tentpole ones, all the Christmas shows, Mia Khalifa, all the fun ones. So check those out. We have archives. They're on those podcast networks. Listen to them. Rate them 5 stars. And if you already listen on the podcast, watch us live on Wednesday nights here at about 7:30 Pacific. And Saturday shows have been far and few between. We're revamping what we want to do on the weekends, so stay tuned. I don't think we're going to do another. We're not going to do another Saturday. We're not doing a Saturday show this week. We'll have announcements on that soon. So for now, we're just back on the Wednesday grind. You can follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, all those things. Thank you so much for listening. For the real David Webb, Emma Skies, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.